I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a
soldier. No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth, stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ, I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error.
Go stronger.
This is the Terry and Jesse Show, bringing the truth like thunder. I'm here at headquarters, at VMPR headquarters here in Covina, California. We're going to have a conference tomorrow from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on spiritual warfare for everybody. Basic catechetical spiritual warfare from Dr. Dan Schneider, who I'll be honest with you, I've been around this for a long time. I don't know any lay Catholic. Well, there's two. Dr. Dan Schneider and Kyle Clement have been personally trained by Father Chad Ripperger. They're the most literate lay teachers of spiritual warfare on planet Earth. These guys actually teach priests. They give seminars for young priests on this field. He's going to be here tomorrow. We're going to be picking him up in the air. And tonight, Terry, we got a special little...
Yep.
We're going to a little fireside chat with Dr. Dan Schneider and myself tonight at the chapel, right?
Yeah, Jess, and I want to invite only men. Sorry about that, ladies.
Tonight.
Just for tonight. And it's going to be special because it's going to be intimate in the sense that probably a small group of 50, 60 men that will be able to talk to Jess and Dan regarding spiritual warfare and their family. So I want to invite those folks. That'll be tonight at 7:30 here at the Sacred Heart Chapel. Hey, Jess, it's neat. We've got two studios here. Our benefactors have helped build these two studios. You're in Studio A. I'm in Studio B. And thank you very much, everybody, for helping us build these state-of-the-art studios. I want to also say this, that today's show, we're going to be talking about something. Well, obviously, we're going to have Father Chad Ripperger talk on spiritual warfare and communism. But this is something that is really a relief for me to say the bishops are coming to their senses regarding sacred music, and they're giving direction. And
you've been talking about this for years.
I mean, we started Adoramus, which is a liturgy group, with Father Joe Fessio 26 years ago because of the craziness that goes on in the liturgy. And so we're going to be talking about what the USCCB committee says about all those heretical songs and music that we've been playing for the last 50 years here, and saying that we got to get rid of them because guess what? We figured it out. These heretical songs are causing people to lose their faith. Thank you, bishops. I'm so glad you did that. No, I want to give them a pat on the back right now.
Terry, you made a point too. We'll get more.
Later.
We'll get more to it.
Yeah, and just so much more today. But before we get into all of these things, bro, we love to get into some soul food.
Gospel of Jesus
Christ. You got it. And this gospel teaches it all, brother.
Yeah, there's everything in this gospel. Yep. Mark chapter 2, verses 1 to 12.
Yep.
Speak, Lord, your servants are listening. When Jesus returned to Capernaum after some days, that's in northern Israel, that's where he lived at. He lived there in the home of Peter, by the way. It became known that he was at home. Many gathered together so that there was no longer room for them, not even around the door. And he preached the word to them. The word means the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we're sinners and that he's a savior and that we need salvation. That's what he's preaching. They came bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. Okay, that's somebody who's handicapped, completely can't move. He's immobile. Unable to get near Jesus because of the crowd, they opened up the roof above him. After they had broken through, they let down the mat on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to them, "Child, your sins are forgiven." Notice what happened here. That paralytic didn't exercise any faith, so far as we know, because the Bible doesn't say he did. It was his friend's faith. That's why it's so important to what we call intercede for people, intercessory prayer. Here we're seeing his friends are exercising faith. This is called vicarious faith in theology. They're interceding for somebody else. The Bible doesn't say whether that paralytic is exercising any faith or whether he's a man of faith at all. It doesn't say. It's silent about that. But we do know they're interceding. That's why the Bible says intercede for one another in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. It's especially when you're in a state of grace, your prayers are powerful. Mm-hmm. Then it says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to him, "Child, your sins are forgiven." Now, some of the scribes, those are the lawyers, were sitting there asking themselves, "Why does this man speak that way? He is blaspheming. Who but God alone can forgive sins? Okay, so that's the law, the Jewish law. We know only God can forgive sins. Got that. We believe that. But they don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God because they don't believe God has a son. So Jesus making those statements, they're saying he's making himself equal to God. He should be killed under Jewish law. That's what they're saying. Now Jesus is going to exercise his divine nature here. It says, Jesus immediately knew in his mind what they were thinking to themselves. Stop there. That demonstrates the divinity of Christ, because not even angels or demons know what's in your mind. Nobody knows what's in your mind. Only God knows. And here the Bible says that Jesus knew. So Jesus Christ here chose to exercise his divine prerogatives to see what was in their mind. Then it says this. And so why are you thinking such things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise, pick up your mat and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority to forgive sins on earth. And remember, he says that his authority comes from God the Father in Matthew 28:19. He said to the paralytic, I say to you, rise, pick up your mat and go home. He rose, picked up his mat at once and went away in the sight of everyone. They were all astounded and glorified God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Two things here that speak about eschatology. In the New Jerusalem, in heaven, please God, when we get there by living and dying in a state of grace, not only will we have our soul will be perfectly healed from sin, we will be immaculate in our soul. We will be filled with grace. We will have no sin in heaven. We'll be perfected in grace. But also a second thing that we see here, okay, our bodies are breaking apart every day. They're falling apart, okay? We're all going to be paralytics, so to speak, one day.
Yep.
In heaven, your body's also going to be restored perfectly. So in this gospel today is a restoration of this sick man, his body and his soul. There will be a perfect restoration of your body and your soul in heaven at the second coming of Christ.
Well said, Jesse. Hey, I just want to remind Jesse, not to forget, I didn't mention it, about St. Paul the Hermit. We want to cover him. He's an amazing saint. I love that guy. And St. Anthony, both of those guys. Hey, let's bring the smartest guy into the room right now. Full Sheen ahead. This is a quote by Bishop Sheen from his Life of the Quotable Sheen. Everybody keeps asking me, where are you getting all these quotes from? It's called the Quotable Sheen. It's on you can get it on the internet. Here's what Sheen says. Life is like a cash register in that every account, every thought, every deed, like every sale, is a registered and recorded. And I might add, my engineer gave me this. He said, and the receipts are read out at your exit interview. In other words, life, you're like, it's like a blank check. If Christ's name is on it, it has infinite value. So think about that tonight when we do our examination of conscience, that every thought, action, and word will come out at that exit interview. To me, that just helped me make a better, examination of conscience for tonight, Jess.
Terry, let me go to St. Paul the Hermit.
He's great.
He's one of the saints of today.
Yeah.
St. Paul was born in Egypt, where he was orphaned by the age of 15.
Yep.
He was also a learned and devout young man. And during the persecution of the Emperor Decius in Egypt in the year 250, St. Paul was forced to hide in the home of a friend. Fearing a brother-in-law would betray him, he fled in a cave in the desert. And his plan was to return once the persecution ended. But the sweetness of solitude and heavenly contemplation convinced him to stay in the cave.
I love that story.
So he went on to live in that cave for the next 90 years.
What? Yeah, that's right. 90 years.
A nearby spring gave him drink. A palm tree furnished him clothing and nourishment. And after 21 years of solitude, a bird began bringing him half of the loaf of bread each day. Without knowing what was happening in the world, St. Paul prayed that the world would become a better place. St. Anthony of Egypt, he also attests to his holy life and death. Tempted by the thought that no one had served God in the wilderness longer than he, St. Anthony of Egypt was led by God to find St. Paul and acknowledge him as a man more perfect than himself. And the raven that day brought a whole loaf of bread instead of the usual half, as St. Paul predicted, and Anthony would return to bury his new friend one day. It's thought to have been about 112 when he died, and Paul is known as the first hermit in the Catholic Church. His feast day is celebrated in the East, but he's also commemorated by the Coptic and the Armenian Christians as well. St. Paul, the hermit, pray for us.
Amen. And Jesse, St. Anthony of Egypt has volumes of writings on the spiritual life. He was one of the fathers that just, I remember reading it first time, and I said, wow, man, this is rich. Wow, this is deep. Wow, this is like Christ-centered. So I would encourage anybody to Google also St. Anthony of Egypt and read some of his readings because they're hard-hitting. There you go.
Terry, something interesting that what you said, that the Desert Fathers, in case people don't realize. And
oh, yeah, they're great.
This is what Father Ripperger and his team, you know, Kyle Clement and Dan Schneider, what they've done is they've put together a model, and that's what we're going to be talking tomorrow on Saturday.
Yeah. Good.
They put together a model of spiritual warfare, which is called monastic spiritual warfare, and that's what we teach now. It's a return to the monastic way of combating the diabolical, because too many Catholics, Terry, have followed the Protestant model, which is the Kansas City Azusa Street Pentecostal Charismatic Revival model,
right?
And I can tell you, I've seen the problems with it. It has a lot of flaws in it, and so this team that I'm part of, we're going back to the monastic model of spiritual warfare. That works.
Well said. Talking about spiritual warfare, when we come back, Father Chad Ripperger will put his clip on talking about spiritual warfare and communism and how they connect. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show here on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. We've got a great weekend coming up with the Spiritual Warfare Conference. You'll be able to register by going to virginmostpowerfulradio.org. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Straight Talk Catholicism and Blue Collar Catholic Radio. Let me just give you some two good news stories before we go into Father Ripperger's little segment on spiritual warfare and communism. I think it's a good news that one of the Black Lives Matter activists who stormed the Capitol on January 6th, he's been arrested.
Yep.
His name is John Earl Sullivan, and you can see his mugshot. He's at the Utah County Jail.
Jesse, isn't he the guy that used to get interviewed on CNN?
Yeah, he got a bunch of interviews on CNN, in fact. And in fact, some of the people from this one retired FBI agent that lives out here in the Arizona area, he said he's got a podcast. He says that everybody from Black Lives Matter and Antifa that raided the White House, he says you could tell which ones they were. He said they all put their caps backwards.
Uh-huh.
He says they have MAGA hats, but they put them on backwards, and that signaled to all the Antifa and BLM that they were part of the infiltration.
Interesting.
And so I've watched some of the videos, and there's a bunch of young guys that have MAGA hats that they're on backwards. And this FBI guy that's out here, I don't want to mention his name.
No.
He said that's what terrorist organizations do. They'll do something that's different from the rest. That way they signal everybody else that we're part of the same team. Also, another good news item is Twitter and Facebook have lost $51 billion, with a B, billion dollars,
yep,
over banning Donald Trump on their social platform. So I think that's what I call instant justice. Let's go real quick to the clip from Father Chad Ripperger. It's called Spiritual Warfare and Communism. He talks about bad motives of demons, bad motives of communisms, and the similarities. Mr. Engineer, can you play the clip?
In one of the prior videos, we had mentioned the fact that during sessions, demons will often look for excuses. You know, when you say, hey, this is what you're doing, knock it off, they'll try and blame one of the other demons, or they're constantly trying to divert blame for what they have done. Even when you call them on the carpet for their behavior, they will accuse you of doing it or having false motives. You're only saying this because of X, Y, and Z. In other words, demons will very often cause an emotional response in relationship to the person who's possessed or whatever the case, in order to accuse you of that, so that they can accuse you of false motives. And the reason they do that is so that you will begin to question yourself or stop the attack on them so that you can address this issue within yourself. It's all a diversionary tactic to take it off from them so they can continue doing what they're doing. Communists do the same thing. When communists are caught in bad behavior, law-breaking or destruction of property, society, and people's lives, they'll never admit it, which we've talked about. They distract from their guilt by casting aspersions elsewhere or accusing their opponent who points out their guilt, that he's only doing this for false motives. This is one of the things that you actually see, basically saying that this person's intentions are evil. In other words, it's all about imputing false motive to those who do the good. It should not be tolerated. They should, once the person says, this is the reason I'm doing it, they expect you to take it on face value, then we should demand that they take it on face value.
You just listened to Father Chad Ripperger. He's got 47 short videos on YouTube. They're called Spiritual Warfare and Communism. This was called Bad Motive. And what he's doing in these teachings, he's showing the behavior of demons and he's showing the behavior of communists. And he shows that the way their behaviors are congruent, they parallel each other. And again, we have communism that just came into America. It came into America with this, I can't say the word election because I don't want to get scrambled. With this election that just happened, we have communism coming into America. Here's 3 points that Father Ripperger makes that I find quite interesting. Demons and communists constantly try to divert blame for what they've done. Number one. Another thing he says here. The reason demons and communists, and by the way, what's a communist? You'll figure this out. A communist is a code word for liberal. Do you know any liberals? A communist is a code word for progressive. Do you know anybody that calls themselves progressive? A communist is a code word for socialist. Do you know any parties in America that call themselves a socialist party? Interesting. Communist is a code word for all of them. This is all laid out in the movie Wolf in Sheep's Clothing. Saul Alinsky says we can't use the word communist. It's in the movie. He says people will figure it out. We just have to use the word liberal, progressive, socialist. And guess what? That's exactly acceptable American jargon in universities. I'm a liberal. We're part of the progressive group. We're the socialist party. That's like, hey, applaud for them. It's another way of saying communist, but we've been so desensitized. The last thing Father says here about communists and demons is that they're only doing this for false motives. The one thing, this is one of the things that you actually see, basically saying that this person's intentions are evil. It's all about imputing false motives to those who do good. Do you know any politician right now that's a president where people are imputing evil intentions to him and false motives to try to run him out of office?
Oh, yeah.
Huh, I wonder if you know anybody that fits that description. Derek?
Yes, you mentioned Saul Alinsky, his Rules for Radicals. That book he dedicated to Satan. Just to remind everybody, this is not good stuff. I just will say that Father Chad Ripperger continues to educate us on spiritual warfare. It's so good to hear that. And then just to mention, it's not too late right now to register for tomorrow's conference on spiritual warfare with Dan Snyder and Jess Romero. You can go to Virgin Most Powerful Radio's website, or if you don't want to do it online, just call. The guys are there. Call us at 877-526-2151. And I've been told that they can watch these. If you register, I think it's $35 to help us with the event, putting us on. You can watch this forever. In other words, it's going to be on the internet. And so we're going to make it available to you if you just, you know, register, and then you can share it with your friends. This is stuff that they don't get at local parishes. You just don't get this information. So I had some people call me late 9:30 last night and saying, you know, hey, can I share this with my aunt because she's having issues? I said, absolutely. You share it with anybody you want. This is information that we want to get out as widely as possible. And I want to thank you for supporting us with this mission, which is to introduce people to the person of Christ. And spiritual warfare is critically important at this time. Jess.
Terry, I can promise you that you will never hear the song All Are Welcome
on
NPR. Okay.
That pains me to even think.
Or at the Sacred Heart Chapel.
Nope.
Now, this is good news. Here's the title of the article.
Oh, it's great news.
Then I'll just give you this overview.
Yeah.
It says, all are welcome. Not a welcome hymn at Mass, USCCB committee says. All I can say is, it's about time.
Yeah, it's just, you know what it is, though, Just? I'm going to compliment him, but you know what it's like? Here's the analogy. See if this fits. You got about 100,000 horses in a corral. You got to keep them there, right, before you sell them, before you do whatever you're going to do with the horses. Well, they let the horses out, and then they come back and say, hey, we figured out we got to keep the gate closed, and that way we keep our flock together. Well, in a sense, the bishops took 50 years to figure out these songs were undermining the Catholic faith, and now they're doing the right thing. And I think of what happened, you know, in the 5th century with Arianism, Jess. The Arianism, they made this popular with singing of songs, and people picked up on it. And that's the point. We have to be so careful about what songs are played in church because they have consequences. And we're going to go through and name these songs that we all know that are bad.
Let me go. Arius of Alexandria denied that Jesus Christ was divine.
That's right.
He was a 4th century Catholic,
boy, priest, did he do damage.
Priest from Greece. And what he did,
yeah,
because the people were simple people, he was very educated. So what he did, he devised a song. Yeah,
very catchy song.
It was a catchy song singing that Jesus Christ was not divine, that he was merely human. So people would go around, as he taught it, people would go around and just sing this song. I mean, can you imagine singing that Jesus is not divine, he's not the Son of God, he's only a human being. And so that's the way he was able to spread his heresy. It was through music, the power of music. And this is what the modernists, because we're fighting three wars.
Exactly.
We'll be fighting three wars until the second coming of Christ.
Yep.
Modernism, Marxist, and Masons.
Yep.
That's the threefold infiltration in the Catholic Church and America. And the modernists, in this instance,
yeah,
or a lot of them are Masons and Marxists,
yeah,
they came up with songs that are heretical. Did you hear what I said? Heretical, that teach heresy, that teach incorrect doctrine. And so there you are Sunday at Holy Mass at St. Diversity's Parish, at St. Miscellaneous Parish, and you're singing this song, and what you're doing is you're embracing heresy. And most of the songs, Terry,
yeah,
they were an attack on the Eucharist.
Well, of course, like Jesus is in the bread and the wine. We've been singing that for decades. That's Lutheranism.
Not me and Terry. We know.
No. And you know, Jesse, when I used to go and you know, I had a big mouth. You know that, Jess. I would go to the priest and then the people in charge. I say, excuse me, why are we singing this song? This is not a Catholic song. And they look at me like I'm on another planet. What do you mean? It's a catchy tune. They don't get it when you tell them, even when you say something like, Jesus isn't in the bread and the wine. You know what they say? What do you mean? He certainly is. I said, well, you have no idea what the real presence of Christ is.
I'll tell you why they didn't pay attention, because I know you've been saying that for years.
Yep.
You've been saying, I'll tell you why. Because these big music liturgical press organizations make millions of dollars.
Yeah, follow the money.
Because people are forced to buy their books for the parishes. And so guess what? I'm sure that the overseers, there's huge financial remuneration and kickbacks to allow these garbage songs into the average Novus Ordo parish. That's why they would tell you, Terry, shut up. We don't want to hear from you. Because these people were receiving huge amounts of money from the sales of these heretical books.
Can I confirm that with experience? Yes. The Religious Ed Congress. All of those music people, they would take the big people making decisions out to dinner. They would say, we're going to give you a percentage back. We'd make some money on this. That happens all the time. But that doesn't bother me as much as just having the songs in the Catholic parishes that are not teaching what Catholic teachings are. Let's go into some of the names. Yeah, name them.
Okay, some of the ones that got nixed, they didn't make the cut.
Thanks be to God.
Because the Eucharistic doctrine is incorrect, or the Trinitarian doctrine is incorrect.
Yep.
Or the doctrine of God is incorrect.
Yeah.
The view of the church is incorrect. Some of the songs that just got whacked. God is here. Check that one off. Don't ever sing that one again. as we his people. Check that one off. That one's gone. Third, now in this banquet, check that one off, okay? Fourth one, let us break bread together, check that. Let us break bread together on our knees, check that one off. That one got nixed for heresy. All are welcome, check that one off. It's good to see, Terry, that a lot of the bishops are coming back to more traditional music.
And when we come back, I want to continue with that list, because one of the songs was played at a Eucharistic Congress in 1976, and it was a radical song. Are you ready? Are you ready? I'll tell you, after we come back, you're going to go, what? I don't believe it. We sing that song all the time. Well, thank you, bishops, for correcting what's been going on wrong for decades. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Spiritual Warfare Conference this weekend here at the Sacred Heart Chapel. You don't want to miss it. Tomorrow, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. here at the Sacred Heart Chapel in Covina. Dr. Dan Schneider and myself will be giving lectures tomorrow based on the monastic model of healing and deliverance, which is the oldest Catholic model that's been used, and it's very effective. Terry, this article is hilarious because it reminds me of you, because you've been saying this for decades.
Yeah, well, my wife and I have been. Jesse,
you're way ahead of the curve.
But the teaser that I gave at the break was at the Eucharistic Congress, 1976, Mother Teresa's there, Archbishop Fulton Sheen was there, and what did they sing songs? One bread, one body, right? And eat this bread. All these heretical songs at a Congress that was supposed to bring out the teaching on the real presence. And this is how mixed up we were. And, you know, lay people like myself and my wife, we were just scratching our heads going, doesn't anybody see this? And I'm going to compliment the bishops. They figured it out. And they're going to take action. Thank you, bishops.
Terry, you figured this out in 1976 as a layperson.
I know, but...
Okay. You know what that's called? It's called the sense
of the faithful.
Yeah, sense of the faithful. Sense of fidelium.
Yeah, in the Spain lab.
What God does is God illuminates a person's mind. You don't have to have all these degrees behind your name.
No.
When you live in a state of grace and you have a prayer, a strong prayer life and a sacramental life, God will He will download his wisdom, and he'll let you know when things are right and wrong. And Terry had that decades ago in his wife.
Yes, my wife is coming in because we have the Bible with the barbers right now. And at the break, I texted her and I said, would you share what you used to do during Mass when these heretical songs would be sung? Because I want people to pick up on that and say, hey, if she did it, why can't I? But I'm not going to tell you what she said until she comes in, man. I'm going to bring her into the studio.
Okay.
All right, Jess. But, you know, the bottom line is we are grateful, again, that the bishops are making these kind of changes. And, again, is it too late? Yes, but better late than never.
Here, let's read some of the things here some of the important things here.
Yeah.
I got them highlighted.
Good.
It says, the U.S. Bishops Doctrine Committee provided two general guidelines for determining whether a hymn is doctrinally suitable for liturgical use, whether it conforms to Catholic doctrine, and whether its images and vocabulary appropriately reflect the usage of Scripture and the liturgical prayer of the Church.
That sounds
good,
man.
Paragraph.
Here's
another good paragraph. They urge that those involved in hymnody, that means sacred songs, be especially attentive to six categories of potential deficiencies. In the presentation of Eucharistic doctrine, number one, Trinitarian doctrine, the doctrine of God and his relation to humans, a view of the Church, ecclesiology, that sees her as essentially a human construction, and number five, doctrinally incorrect views of the Jewish people, and number six, an incorrect Christian anthropology, in other words, the study of the human person. Here's another good paragraph. Regarding Eucharistic doctrine, the bishops warned that Catholics nurtured on a steady diet of certain hymns will learn from them that at Mass we come together to share bread and wine, which remain bread and wine, a common meal, even if under special circumstances. A steady diet of these hymns would erode Catholic, and that's exactly
what happened,
would erode Catholic sensibility regarding the fullness of Eucharistic teaching on the Mass's sacrifice and eventually on the Church as formed by that sacrifice.
Yeah.
Now, here's what's good. Some of the good alternatives that they're bringing into the Church.
Right.
It says that now they're offering in these hymnals, Ave Verum Corpus. Number two, Taste and See. Number three, You Satisfy the Hungry Heart.
Four,
Seeds Scattered and Sown. Five, I am the bread of life. See, these are all doctrinally sound. 6, one bread, one body. 7, eat this bread. 8, look beyond. 9, at that first Eucharist. 10, O sacrament most holy. 11, O salutaris ostia. 12, adoro de devote. So some of these older hymns are coming back, Terry. They're coming back roaring because people want good Eucharistic theology. And it says here, hymns with poor presentation of Trinitarian doctrine include, quote, the play of the Godhead. Get that one out.
Yeah, get it out.
Led by the Spirit. Get that one out. While the bishop said that God beyond all names is a hymn that fails to respect God's transcendence. So get that one out. Here's another list. Those that erroneously see the church as nothing but a human construction include, quote, sing a new church.
Oh, my gosh.
And number 2, as a fire is meant for burning. And the bishops also wrote that hymns that imply that the Jews as a people are collectively responsible for the death of Christ would be ruled out, naming in particular the Lord of the Dance and O Crucified Messiah. The only thing I would say about that is historically and spiritually. Historically, the Jews and the Romans killed Jesus. Historically.
That's just a fact, Jess.
Yeah, okay? Read the Bible. Now, theologically and spiritually, we all put them on the cross.
That's right.
So they should make that.
That's real clear.
They shouldn't cave in and say, oh, no, we can't say this. Yeah, you could.
Oversensitive.
The Jews and the Romans killed Jesus, historically speaking.
Yeah.
But all of us as sinners put them on the cross, spiritually speaking. Terry?
One more thing. If we really read Vatican II, it talked about sacred music, not mundane and secular music. We hear secular music in churches a lot. And now they're saying, hey, we shouldn't have that. Well, thank you. But, I mean, are you ready for this, Jess? I've been in a church we have a lot of funerals, right? And I tell them, the Beatles? Well, he liked the Beatles. So what? It's not appropriate in church. Get it out. You know, here's my point. The church is saying, you know what Mass is? It's a reenactment of Calvary. We're present at that one eternal sacrifice.
Oh, what's that?
And you want to, yeah. Exactly, it's not wood. You took the words right out of my mouth, Jess. Go to Woodstock and hear all those secular songs. When we're in church, we're participating in Calvary. You want to hear, you know, Beatles songs? No, I don't care if you do. It's not appropriate. But what's going to happen, Jesse, I hope this is a stage of the bishops. I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt that they're going to say, you know, we think we need to really restore the sacred aspects of the Mass. You know what? Why don't we just say no more communion on the hand? Hey, no more standing for communion. Hey, Aunt Molly, sit down. We're going to distribute communion ourselves. And yeah, and so we're going to start having more sacred liturgies, which will really impress the faithful to have a deeper love for Jesus Christ in the Blessed Sacrament. That's what I'm hoping for. Hope is eternal, brother.
Yes, that's right. And again, the Bible says, I mean, it's very clear, you know, that make a joyful noise to God. Let
yep.
all the earth sing for the glory of God. Psalm 66, 1 and 2. So the music that we pick for Holy Mass should be sacred music, not profane music.
That's right.
Here's another part of the article jumps out at me. It says, the document on hymns
yeah.
said that, quote, the Canticle of the Son teaches that death is natural and necessary for our life to have something at stake, and thus can be read. But in fact, it is the resurrection of Christ that makes our life real.
Exactly.
Restoring what we lost in Adam, and that is the passion of Christ, not death per se, that helps us to feel. Death is not a necessary part of human nature. So again, that song there is theologically imprecise, because there are some people that didn't taste death. The Blessed Virgin Mary, for example. So again, death isn't a necessary part of human nature. You also have Enoch and Elijah. They never died. They got taken straight to heaven.
That's right.
So so they're gonna correct that song as well, because I guess it's theologically imprecise. So it's good, Terry, that they're looking at some of these songs.
They're you know what they're doing, Jesse? This is really important. They're very, very careful about words and songs. And I think that we should also apply that to the words. Even we've had a better translation on the English Mass. What was that, about 8-9 years ago, when Benedict XVI had a revision, when we say, like, for example, a word that says, and I shall be, so, you know, only if I speak the word, my soul shall be healed. We used to say, my soul. Then Somebody said, no, you're not saved your soul. You're going to be saved. You. And then back in 2008, I believe we made another change to go back and say, only say the word and my soul shall be healed. I never changed because I thought, what do you mean? It's my soul. It's not, my healing is not my head. It's not my fingers. I have an eternal soul that needs to be healed. And so I'm hoping that this is actually going to continue to really look at everything we do in liturgy from a sacred point of view and not from a profane look. Because, Jess, this has been my gripe for years. People go to Mass and it's like a entertainment, like you're going out to a club and they're going to get some music, and that's the big emphasis is on the guitar, the clarinet, or whatever they're playing, and they forgot what's going on the altar. See, this has to stop, and that's why people have no clue on what's going on with the Mass, because the emphasis has been on man rather than on Jesus.
Yeah, it's and that's what happens with liturgical music that's improper. What it does, it triggers the passions
and the emotions. Right.
Here's when you start seeing people at Mass popping their fingers,
Or clapping,
bobbing their head, clapping, you know you've entered into profane music.
Jesse, we've got another minute before the break. My faithful bride just came in, the Bible with the Barbers. Hello, Mary Barber.
Well, good morning.
Hi.
Good morning.
Mary Barber, you've been hearing us. We've been talking about sacred music, and the bishops are really condemning a lot of these songs that you had been condemning as a mother, okay? Sorry. But some of the songs that would sing, give us an example of what you would do when these songs would take place and Mass. Wouldn't you change the words?
I did, and I actually wrote it in the books. I was writing inside the book. I was changing the words. There was one, it was called The Supper of the Lord.
Oh, yeah, that was it.
And the Carmelites sang this on Holy Thursday, and I was just like, what? And the refrain goes, precious body, precious blood, here in bread and wine.
No.
Bread of love, here the Lord prepares a feast divine. Bread of love is broken here. Cup of life is poured. And I'm like, no. Precious body, precious blood, no longer bread and wine.
She changed
here
it.
The Lord prepares a feast divine. Bread of life is broken here, cup of blessing poured.
Because Paul refers to the blessing cup in his letter to the Corinthians.
Sure.
We know that in John 6 it says bread of life. And the reality is, though, we're not focusing just on the Last Supper. The Eucharist is not just the Last Supper. And when we receive Jesus in communion, we're receiving the risen, glorified Christ as he is in heaven.
Amen.
In his glorified state.
Stay with us, Mary Barber. Bible with the Barbers is coming up after the Terry and Jesse Show. We'll be right back after a short break.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. Jess Romero is here in Covina. He's in Studio A. My faithful bride, Mary Barber, and myself are in Studio B. After this show, we're going to do the Bible with the Barbers. If you can't hear it on your station, just get our app. Matter of fact, Jess, I want to make a plug for everybody. Pick our app up because if ever something happens, anything could happen, and you can't get a hold of us, if you have the app, we control that app, and you'll still hear us on Virgin Most Powerful. It's as simple as go to your app store, type in right now, Virgin Most Powerful Radio, and you can download the app in 30, 40 seconds. Jess, this whole article that you picked out, I couldn't believe when you sent this to me. I was so excited. I was like, finally, this is great. And again, Jess, we've been critical of the bishops when they're wrong on things, okay? We've been critical in a nice way. We say, come on, that's not right. But when they did something right, which they did with these songs, getting rid of heretical songs, this is going to help people have a greater love for the Mass and an understanding of the real presence of Christ. We know that people don't believe in the real presence. We know those statistics came out a couple years ago. We've been studying this for 40 years, and we see young people, old people, even people as old as I am, I've asked them about the real presence, and they say, oh, yeah, we used to believe that.
Yeah.
I'll give you an example, Jesse. See if I log your memory. Do you remember going up to Montana with Anita? And we were up at a parish.
No, Jesse,
he's smiling.
Doesn't remember that.
We were up at a parish, and we were doing a catechetical seminar on basic teachings of the church. And this old military guy goes up to Jess Romero. I'll never forget I was with him. He goes, Jesse, I'm so glad that you told me that the church still believes in the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. For years here, we were told that that's not what the church teaches anymore. Am I right or wrong on that, Jess?
Yeah, it was a breath of fresh air for a lot of the people over there. They
heard some teachings of the Catholic faith.
And to be fair to the pastor, he told us, he told you and I, he goes, I don't agree with anything you guys are saying, but the people want you here, and I'm their pastor, so I want to give them what they're asking for, but I don't agree with anything you guys are saying.
Right.
Just so you know.
And I'm going to make it pretty open. I'm going to make a note. If anybody wants to see a picture of Jesse Romero and that pastor, we pray for him. And he's showing off with his arm, with his muscle, at some place that we're out in the middle of nowhere. He's someone that I would say that we should pray for him, because I think we did have an influence on him. Because you know what he said? He goes, you guys are somewhat young. Why are you so orthodox? What is going on here? We just happen to believe in the perennial teachings of the church. We had many meals with him.
Yeah.
We were there the whole week. Yeah. And I would call my wife at night and say, honey, you don't believe this. But here again, Jess, this is why we have a desire to share the gospel, 100% of what Christ teaches.
Terry, I'm not going to mention any names because I just don't feel called to, but there are certain liturgical composers in the last
They're in trouble too, many
that
of them.
That have been arrested for sexual, and that have been compromised for sexual.
It's true.
So it's out in the open. And a lot of these are big composers in the Catholic Church.
That put these heretical songs together.
They're living homosexual relationships.
It affects you.
Yeah.
Bad doctrine affects you.
They're sexual predators with women. And these are some of the big names that have composed over 100 songs. A lot of the ones that we're mentioning here that we've been singing in the Vatican II Mass for the last 50 years.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, when a person, you know, and as Catholics, what lex orandi, lex credendi, you know, the law.
Translate?
Yeah.
The way you worship, the way you believe.
The way you believe. And so even as a Catholic that's involved in some type of liturgical ministry, you have to live a clean life, because it's going to color, it's going to affect your product, your work.
Amen, brother.
That's the only point that I'm
Well said. Yeah. Mary, before we have to break for this show, tell us a little bit, tease everybody what you're going to be, and I'll be with you on the Bible with the Barbers, about the book of Hebrews. What's so important about that?
Well, I think if you read the book of Hebrews, it becomes clear there are certain cults in our world today that claim that Jesus Christ wasn't really God, or he was an angel or something else. And I think we need to read the book of Hebrews and read it very carefully. And we'll find that, you know, when Christ asks his apostles, who do you say that I am? And Peter's answer. And then the book of Hebrews plays that out and explains who Christ is. And you can't just take things out of context in the scriptures. You need to take it as a whole.
And Mary, just for the benefit of the new people that we have, tell us your background. Why are you doing the Bible with the Barbers? Tell us, you know, what did you do?
I'm a wife and mother. I got four kids. I was teaching at home. And what happened was, I was in my mid-50s. A priest suggested, he said, you know, I think you need to study, you know. And so I researched. Terry said I couldn't go away to school. I had to stay at home. So I looked for a program that I could do the whole thing online from my home. And I found John Paul the Great Catholic University. Yep. And I got a master's degree in my mid-50s on biblical studies. So I have a master's degree in biblical studies. At the time, it was the only Catholic university in the United States of America that was offering a master's in biblical studies. And it has been tremendous. It really, for me personally, and I've gone to Mass every day since I was a child, but it really, really deepened my love for the scriptures and my understanding of how important God's holy word is, that we really delve into this and really allow his word to penetrate us.
And Mary, your world biblical view, you did that last week, what we all need to have, that world biblical view, but you can't get it if you don't read the Bible.
Right, and you know, people, how many of us are listening to hours and hours of television shows or getting these messages on our phone and listening to all of the news about everything that's going on? How many hours are you spending with the Lord? How many hours are you spending doing spiritual reading? And how much of this is actually taking us away from doing our duty to our families? You know, do your duty to your family, do spiritual reading every day, spend time with the Lord in prayer, and then you get this biblical worldview. What is God's view of what's going on? The scriptures help us to open up to that.
So join us after the Terry and Jesse show. Jesse, we got about 4 or 5 more minutes on this. Hit it, brother.
Terry, let me just mention, we'll do Sir Vince's article on next week.
Cause oh, yeah.
I want to do it justice.
Oh, yeah.
Do it justice.
No, but, yeah.
But let I'm going to the U.S. Bishop's website, so it's not like I'm, you know, doing something mean here. Catholic News Agency, which comes from the U.S. Bishops, it actually says here, Catholic composer David Haas accused of sexual battery and spiritual manipulation. Yeah, again.
Wow.
This is
big
from,
name.
This is from the U.S. Bishop's website, so I'm not... again, he's a big name. He's written up dozens and dozens of these songs, and this is a problem. The fact is, Arius of Alexandria knew that he can spread heresy by teaching people to sing heretical songs about Jesus not being divine. And so as Catholics, I also just want to caution people and remember, music is a very powerful medium.
Yes.
It's a very powerful medium, and don't forget, Lucifer, who's a fallen angel, his name means morning star. What did the angels do in heaven? The angels sang to God. That's what Job 38:7
said.
They sing to God. That's what the nine choirs of angels do. So even the fallen angels now that we call demons, they know the power of music because they know that music moves the soul like nothing else. And so... I'm glad to see that the U.S. bishops have basically come down and clamped down on this.
Boy,
and
said,
wait a minute. This Eucharistic crisis that we have in the church, it may in part be tied into some of the hymns that we've been singing. So they've made the connections, and I'm glad to see that.
Jesse, I also want to recommend, amen to all of that. I also want to mention Father Frank Pavone, our friend, who's been on the Terry and Jesse show for so long. We go back to 1985 when he was a seminarian, 35 years ago. Rome University reverses a decision to honor Father Frank Pavone. We're going to talk with Father Frank about that very thing and talk about the price of being a disciple of Christ. And I don't want you to forget that on Monday. You're all going to want to hear about what happened with Father Frank Pavone. Jess, one more plug for the Spiritual Warfare Conference. What are you going to do this? I mean, the history of spiritual warfare, that talk got my attention.
Yeah, to start off. Tomorrow we're going to do a 9-3 talk. If you want to hear basically somebody who knows the teachings of Father Chad Ripperger, who in my book is the greatest exorcist that we have on planet Earth. He's a PhD in Thomistic philosophy. Dr. Dan Schneider has been sitting at his feet for 6 years, learning from him and Kyle Clement. Dan's flying over here right now. He's going to be giving several lectures, one tonight for men, just men tonight, but tomorrow it'll be for everybody from 9 to 3 p.m. I'm just a new kid on the block compared to Dan Schneider and Kyle Clement, but I learn fast. I learn fast, and what we're doing is we're trying to teach people what's called the monastic way of healing and deliverance, okay? We've seen that the Protestant model of healing and deliverance, which has been used by the Catholic, by many Catholics, is a failed model.
That's right.
It has many flaws in it. We'll point them out, and you'll see why we as Catholics need to return to the monastic desert fathers model of healing and deliverance.
Well said. I'm excited. And people are texting me, what time, what time, when? Yeah, for tonight, it's only men, 7:30 to about 9 o'clock, and that'll be an interesting evening. And then on Saturday, as Jess said, 9 a.m. to 3 we had a vigil mass set up. We're going to go to St. Joseph's in Pomona for the vigil mass at 5 o'clock for those who want to pray with us the mass. And we'll pray our rosary tonight with the men at 7:30. We'd love to have you come. And again, after this show, the Bible with the Barbers, Mary Danielle and myself, going to be talking on the book of Hebrews. You know, Jesse, the book of Hebrews, I remember Dr. Scott Hahn talking about, he did about 12 hours on it. I'm going to offer that to people if they want to download the book of Hebrews, because it's such a Catholic book. It really, tell us what your thoughts are.
There's a joke about the book Hebrews. Somebody says, is there coffee for men or something like that? Oh, yeah, it's called Hebrews.
Oh, I get it. I never heard that one.
Is that joke?
That's a good one.
Is there coffee specifically for men? Oh, yeah, it's called Hebrews.
Hebrews.
Yeah. Hebrews. I love it. I love it. Hey, Jess, I'm excited you're here for the Spiritual Warfare Conference. I want to make one more thing. If you become a monthly donor by calling me at 661-972-7872, I'll get you in the church to become, you know, to watch the show, the actual presentations of Dan Schneider and Jesse Romero. You call me at 661-972-7872, $25 or more a month. You become a monthly donor, I'll get you in. And also, you're going to get about $200 worth of downloads every month from me, from St. Joseph Communications material, as a way of saying thank you. So if you want to do that, call me. I'm going to do the Bible with the Barbers now, so I'll be done in about an hour. My cell number is 661-972-7872. Jesse, I want to end on the five stones of King David. Hit it.
As Catholics, let's pray the rosary every single day. There's no excuse. More than ever, we got to call upon the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, our 12-star general. Secondly, as Catholics, we need to go to Holy Mass as often as possible. As often as possible. Number three, read the daily Mass readings every day. No excuses. No excuses. It's on your iPhone for most of you. Number four, remember today's Friday. Offer some type of penance or fasting or abstinence. Friday is a day of penance for Catholics. And finally, number five, remain in a state of grace. If you're not in a state of grace, go to confession ASAP. And if you are in a state of grace, well, stay like that by going to confession at least once a month, according to John Paul II, Fulton Sheen, and Father Theo.
Amen. And Jesse, I'm not going to have time, but what state should you be living in, brother?
State of grace. Don't live in a state of mortal sin.
All right, up next, the Bible with the Barbers on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. God love you.